I have a burden on my heart this morning. I trust the Lord will help me to express it as it would bless and instruct and help us in our battles. Turn with me to Romans 13. I have two scriptures that kind of parallel Romans 13 and 12. And it also has a parallel here in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 4. So let's turn to Romans 13 and 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. I believe he's talking about the coming of the Lord. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now turn to 1 Thessalonians 5, and he is talking about the coming of the Lord at the beginning. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction, because that day is going to come upon a woman as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And it says in verse 4 of 1 Thessalonians 5, but ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. I believe he's saying here that we as God's children, it looks like to me that we as God's children, he's saying here, the coming of the Lord, it won't be as sudden to us as it is going to be to the world. Because we're going to be, and we're supposed to be, asking for the Lord to come. We're supposed to be praying for the Lord. Lord, come. Please come. And we're supposed to be looking for him and desiring, earnestly desiring, Peter said, for that day to come. And when you're doing that, when you're being prepared, when you are following the checks and the little whispers of the Holy Spirit, I believe that when he comes, true, the saints of God are going to be so much more prepared, and it won't overtake us as surprising as it will the world, who never thinks about it, who never has a care, they're not worried. Really, they're not. If they are, they bury it. They go do something to get rid of the thought. But that day is going to come upon them unaware. But he said, you're not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You're all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night. That really struck me, and I would take that this morning for the topic, the title of the message. We are not of the night. We are children of the day. We are children of light. We are sons of light. We're not sons of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. See the progression here? He wants us to be prepared. He wants us to be earnestly desiring. He wants us to be praying for the Lord to return, watching, waiting, thinking about it, and doing all of the things that we should be doing. And he said, because of this, because we're not of the night, let us not sleep. Now, what do you think this word sleep means? We know it's talking about spiritually. He didn't say you can't ever go to bed. You got to stay up and watch for the Lord to come. That's not what he's saying, is it? No, but he's saying a spiritual sleep. He's saying a drowsiness, a slumber from, and what else did he talk about here? Let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. So watchful and sober means awake and aware spiritually. And not drunken means in a state of the state that alcohol puts a person in is they're not as aware, they're not as alert, things are hazy to them, things are distorted to them. They say things that they ordinarily wouldn't say. They don't have their right mind. Spiritually, he's warning us against spiritual drunkenness and spiritual slumber. He said that's all part of the night. We are not of the night. Remember that thought. That's what I thought could be one of the guiding principles of our lives as we live from day to day. I need to remember that I'm not of the night. I'm a child of light. I need to think about and do and respond to and put my energies to and my thoughts toward the things that have to do with the light of God and the day. We're children of the day. He said, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. I remember a scene from The Pilgrim's Progress where Pilgrim came to a point in his journey where there were two men who were asleep on the road. And he knew better. Christian knew there were enemies. There were people all the time that would try to get you off of the path. And these two guys were down there at the bottom of this hill and they were asleep. And they had chains around them. And they didn't know it. That's what happens to people who sleep. Things could come upon you unaware. The things of this world that would ensnare you and bring you into bondage. Spiritual slumber, being a part of the night when you're supposed to be a child of the day, partaking of the things of the night. And I'm talking about spiritual night. I hope we can put ourselves into that realm this morning and think about the spiritual battle, the spiritual journey we're on, and apply these things to our spiritual life. What happened to those two guys that were there with the chains on them? They got carried off. They got carried off by Satan's servants, took them off into another place. That wasn't a good place. They that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, be of a sound mind, be watchful, have your thoughts together, live in reality, face things with reality. Be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. What did we read there in Romans 13? He said, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. So Thessalonians here, Paul to the Thessalonians, he spells out what that armor is. Paul to the Romans, he says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, which I know that covers everything. That's really where we should look as the source for our hope of salvation and the source of our faith and our love. But he said here, put on the breastplate of faith and love, the armor of light, for a helmet, the hope of salvation. I was wanting to think about just a little bit about darkness. There is a darkness of ignorance that a lot of the world is in. Little children are growing up ignorant that there is a God. They don't know. Their parents are not teaching them about God. They don't know about God who loves them and cares for them. They don't know about the justice of God, that the things that are wrong and evil will be recompensed and there will be a punishment. Children don't know anything about that. If they do know anything about God, it's a curse word or something really bad that they hear, that's all the things that they know about God are just hurtful things and harmful things and words used in hurtful ways with God's name in them. And just there's a darkness and an ignorance that's over the world. A famine of God's word. And yet, you have churches everywhere. You have preachers on television and radio. You have the word of God available in nearly every little store. People put Bibles in hotel rooms and in hospital rooms. The word of God is available. The light is there. But it's a darkness in our world of ignorance. Then you have the darkness of willful ignorance, which Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 6, I believe it was. He said, verse 22, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." If you can discern, and my eye doctor one time, he talked about that I had a duplicity in my eyes. He said, you have an eye that would see double and your other eye has to compensate. And so you have eye strain in one and then you have this lazy eye. He said, your eye is not single. And oh my mind came alive. And I said, Dr. Beckenhauer, do you know that Jesus talked about a single eye? I was like, a light just went on in my mind. Jesus talked about an eye that is single, an eye that clearly sees, that looks at Christ. But you know, when you have an eye that maybe knows about things, knows about God, knows about right and wrong, but kind of toggles between the two and would like to... have you ever been a child who knew about right and wrong and down in your mind thought, I wish I didn't even know? I remember thinking about that and thinking, you know, if I didn't know about all this, I would be so much happier because I remember thinking those things, the weight of the responsibility of knowledge and wishing that I didn't have that. That's when you have a duplicity of your spiritual eye. You're wanting Jesus and the world too. You're wishing that you could do some of the things, that you could go your own way, but you know you shouldn't go your own way. You know what will happen to you. There's a darkness there. He said here, if your eye is evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, or one translation says, be turned into darkness, how great is that darkness? There's a danger when we're younger children and going on into teenage and young adults, if we start choosing the things of darkness and we start rebelling against the light. Did you know that's a greater darkness than just an ignorant darkness? It's a willful ignorant darkness. It's a turning away from light. He said, if the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? You know, there's a darkness that was described in the book of Exodus. And I'd never really taken note of it before until I was studying about this and studying about darkness and the words in the Old Testament. Because it's a description of spiritual state of men who are without the Lord, either never known of the Lord, or if they have known of the Lord, have rejected the Lord. But anyway, there's a word back in Exodus, whenever he brought a plague of darkness upon Egypt, you know how he described it? He said it was a darkness that could be felt. I just hadn't registered with me. But whenever Jesus said this about a great darkness that comes when you have rejected light, when you have an evil eye, when you vacillate between Jesus and the world, that darkness, to me, that would be a darkness that could be felt. a great darkness. And then there's a darkness of disobedience, goes right along with that. When you know to do good and you don't do it, did you know that your understanding becomes darkened in that way? There may be other ways in your life where you have light and all, but there are some things that if you know better, but you continue in doing what you know better to do, you'll be dark in that area. Satan, the first thing that he does when he captures someone is, there's another book by John Bunyan called The Holy War. And in this, Diabolus, which we know is Satan, he captured this city called Mansoul. And the first thing that he did when he captured the city was he took Mr. Understanding and he put his eyes out. Mr. Understanding was the one who directed and guided the whole city of Mansoul. And Diabolus put out his eyes. That's what happens when we choose to do wrong, when we know to do better. We choose to do wrong. In just a little while, it doesn't take long, our eyes become darkened in that area of our lives. Ephesians chapter 5, let's look there. Verse 6, he said, "Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things," and these things that he mentioned up here, fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking, jesting, a whoremonger, unclean person, covetous man, an idolater. He said, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Remember the little title here that we have, we are not of the night. He said, don't be partakers with those works of darkness. Cast them off, he told the Romans. And here he says, don't be partaker with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. Verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. This should be our focus and our aim. I want to walk as a child that has light in my life. My understanding being lightened, knowing what God's will is, doing God's will, not turning aside to walk in darkness. Walk as children of light, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. What did Romans say? Cast them off. What did Thessalonians? What did he say to Thessalonians? He said, I guess this is the one. Cast them off. Don't have any fellowship with them. But rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. This is what's so important, that we walk as children of light. It's because when you are light, when you are a son of light or daughter of light, and you walk in the midst of all the darkness of men's lives, your very life is a reproof. The holiness that's in your heart, did you know it can be felt? It can be seen. The purity in your life, the absence of things that are filthy. What was it that he talked about? Foolish talking. Did you know that in just a few minutes of you being out on the job among people who talk the talk of fools, the folly of sin, drunkenness, the foolish habits of men out there and women out there, the uncleanness, the looseness between men and women, the lack of the fear of God and respect for His name, all of that kind of conversation, when you go among people that talk like that all the time and you don't talk like that, you don't say God's name in vain. You don't talk about heaven and hell in a way that they do. You don't say his, you don't type his name on social media with initials. You don't do that. People can see that you don't use language like that. You don't laugh at dirty jokes. You don't talk about the looseness between men and women like they do. You have those things in respect and in sacred. The sacred things, you keep them sacred. The private things, you keep them private. You walk as a child of light. When we do that, did you know we're a reproof to the world? How do you know that? How do you know that you're a reproof? Because there are some people who, they get around you and they feel it. And they get on the defensive. There are some people that have enough couth and enough respect about them to apologize and say, "Oh, I'm sorry, excuse me, excuse my language." You know right there that you've been a reproof to them. Your very manner, you don't even have to say a thing, but the way that you dress, sisters, the way we dress ourselves in modesty is a reproof to the looseness of the world around us. It stands out. It shines as a light. Oh, I would encourage all of us today, don't be weary in well-doing. Don't be ashamed to dress modestly. Don't be ashamed to be separate from this world. It's not a shame. It's not embarrassing. It is a reproof. There will be something that comes from some people that's negative. It may make some people mad, but mostly it's a light. It reproves the unfruitful works of darkness. I'm thankful today to be able to walk out among men and women and have a difference in my appearance. I remember as a little girl one time I went to a place where I knew a lot of my school friends were there. And I was embarrassed of my mother, sad to say. And I was embarrassed of my outfit, and I rolled my skirt up. I know I looked really, really tacky, but I couldn't handle the difference. And sometimes we as young people are like that. We're embarrassed. We think I can't deal with being so different. But you know, as I've gotten older and I've seen the progression, the downward progression of even religious people who don't hold standards of godliness and morality anymore. They've sunken as low as the people about them that don't even profess godliness. That's sad to me. And I think, Lord, help us to stand out and be different and to be joyful in it. And He has put joy in my heart. Now I know that true beauty is within. God beautifies the meek person, the humble person, with salvation. And like one of the ministers when I was young said, it makes Revlon and Avon look so cheap. God's beauty is so, it's something that people crave out there. I know it is because of the response that I've gotten sometimes from people. When you give them a radiant smile, when you give them a smile that says, "How are you? I genuinely care about you." When you do deeds of kindness for them, they don't wish that you looked and dressed like them. They're thankful for you to be their friend. They need a friend who knows God. They crave somebody who lives close to God. And that is what we want to do. We want to walk as children of light. You were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. All things that are reproved, verse 13, are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Now we spoke just a little bit a while ago about people who see the light and turn away. And I want to show you what happens when a person does that. John chapter 3, Jesus talked about what condemnation is and what brings it. He said in verse 19, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. If people love darkness rather than light, then the entrance of your little light into the world may disturb them to the point where they're going to reject you and hate you. And Jesus said, marvel not if the world hates you. If they love darkness rather than light, and they turn around and run from the darkness, that brings condemnation, or they run from the light into their darkness. That brings condemnation upon them. And they're going to blame you and I. They're going to blame the preacher. They're going to blame the church and its teachings. They're going to blame all these things and say, you're making me miserable. And that's what the world has done today. They want to go to a church and they shop churches just like they shop stores, looking for somewhere where they're not condemned. And they say to us as Christians, don't judge. Judge not. That's a big thing out there. Don't judge. But Jesus said, here's why you're condemned. This is where condemnation comes, is that when light comes and you run from it, that's where you get condemned. He that doeth truth comes to the light. There's a song that says, come to the light, it's shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon thee. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Oh, we want to be people who have truth. Honesty is what he's saying. He who is honest will come to the light. I believe that's what he's saying here. A person who is honest, when they see the light that manifests things about them, they're going to come to that. They're going to want to know that my life is wrought, that the things that I do in my life are of God. There's a darkness of dishonesty. 2 Corinthians 4 and 2. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. There is a darkness when a soul is dishonest. When we will not own up. And we may be professed saints of God. We may have been raised this way, been living, and maybe consider ourselves a model saint as far as outward things and all. But there are things of the attitudes and of the mind and the spirit that if we're not honest with the Lord about those things, there will become darkness in our heart concerning those things. And I was thinking of that list there in Romans 13 that we read. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Honesty and coming to the light go together. Walking honestly. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness. Now this word rioting, guess what this means? This was really interesting when I found out what the word rioting meant. It means unclean and dissolute songs. You know, some people say, you don't have scripture for the kind of music that you're saying that I shouldn't listen to. Oh, yes, I do. This word right here, it talks about wicked songs and unclean, and there are a lot of them. A lot of the country music songs are unclean. They talk about relationships that are wrong. People feed on those things. They put those things in their mind. That's part of the night, folks. We are not of the night. Don't listen to music that's part of the night, is my warning this morning. Don't be ashamed to listen to godly music, things that uplift, things that come from the scriptures, things that don't sound like they come from the devil. I understand sometimes that people say, it's the words that matter. But if I'm hearing your music and I can't tell by the sound of it that it's no different from what the wicked person is looking, that it has no profession, If your Christian music sounds just like the devil's music, what is the difference? We're not of the night. I hope you can understand what I'm saying here. I one time heard some instrumental music, and it was very beautiful. And it was not rock. There wasn't a beat. It was orchestra music. And I was kind of thinking, oh, this is very beautiful. But did you know there are things about music that are deeper than just your ears? There are things about music that have to do with your spirit. Music is a great power and it involves your spirit. Anyway, I was listening to this instrumental music and something bothered me about it. I was thinking, this does not make me feel good. There is something dark about this. And it was just orchestra. And so this is back in the days of cassettes, okay? So I got the little cassette and looked at the fine writing on that, the info on that little cassette cover. And what I was listening to was Buddhist music. It didn't say it on very clear. It was way, way down in the fine print. And I thought, I know exactly now why this music bothered me. This was dedicated idol-worshipping music. I don't know if it had any words or not. It was simply music. But it came from a dark religion. It came from idol-worshipping religion. If they take the music from other religions and you put Christian stuff with it, I guess the mixture bothers me. That would bother me too. Some people might say, well, that's okay. And we've done that we've taken tunes from here and there and we put Christian words with them and that's okay. I'll leave that with you and the Lord. But just use this as a rule. We are not of the night, but we are of the day. Don't let the things from the night enter into your life. Be careful about the characters from the movies and from Disney and from all of Hollywood. Be careful of those things being a big part of your reading material, your viewing material, the songs, the activities. I've noticed that the things that grab people like that, children out there that captivate their minds. I've watched children over the years who were captivated thus as little children. And so I thought, is that so innocent? I'm going to watch this. Maybe I'm not in the position to tell their parents. You really shouldn't allow your children to be so involved in that. Maybe I couldn't do that, but I thought I won't watch it. And I've seen down the road of those children in their lives, they haven't turned out so well. And I've thought about it later and I've thought, I wonder if the beginnings of their darkness and their confusion and their depression, some of these children that I've known have been very troubled, could it have come from beginnings that were looking like so innocent, but it was figures and characters and storylines and just realms of thought that came from the darkness of movies and stuff out there that it looked innocent at the time. We need God's Spirit, don't we? As parents, we need Him to direct us. There's sometimes that you can't just keep completely away from it. I remember as a child going into relatives' homes where there were things like that going on. And my parents couldn't just say, don't look, don't read, don't listen. They couldn't do that. But we as parents have a responsibility. Lord, give me the wisdom to know how to deal with that with my children when they come back out of seeing some of those things. Help us to know how to educate our children. I know that's a tough place, very tough place. You don't want to. Sometimes you think, well, if I forbid it, then they'll just gravitate toward it. Then they'll just be attracted to it. And so there's some wisdom then in not making a big deal of some things. But then there's times where Well, we just need to follow the Lord. There's times where we're going to have to just say, I don't want you watching it. If you're around it, I want you to go in another room. We just need to exercise our knowledge of right and wrong and let the Lord direct us. There is a darkness that comes, I know, from despair, from situations. Christians find themselves in times of heaviness, and you might could talk about it as a darkness. Now just let me look at this, Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10. You also have Micah chapter 6. And you have David. There's different places in David's writings where he talks about, he talks in the 23rd Psalm, though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, that's a dark place in our life. And you say, well, when you love the Lord, you don't go through darkness. This kind of darkness I'm not talking about is of sin. It's not of disobedience. It's not of dishonesty. But there may be periods in our lives where because of afflictions of our body that affects our mind, it depresses our spirits. There may be times where we feel like we're in darkness, but here's some of the promises for that. Isaiah 50:10, who is among you that feareth the Lord, who honors and reveres the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? And this word servant is actually referring to Christ. That walketh in darkness. Is there anybody here this morning who you really do love and fear and reverence and obey the Lord and his voice, but you feel like you're in a time of darkness? Who is there among you that walks in darkness and has no light? Here's the instruction for you this morning. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay or depend or prop yourself on his God. Let him trust in the name of the Lord. Micah also speaks about that. Micah chapter 7 and verse 8. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. Until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me, he will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Now this is talking here a little bit about somebody who has grieved the Lord, fallen into sin. That's not a time to sit and mourn in your darkness. You still have hope. There may be a time where you bear some things because of your failure, but this says he will plead my cause and execute judgment for me and bring me forth to the light. Psalms 112, he talks about the upright who are in darkness. Psalms 112, and verse 4. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. I believe it's Psalm 18 where David said, the Lord will lighten my darkness. I brought these things in this morning because I didn't want there to be any confusion. Whenever we preach about darkness and say you're not of the night, you're children of light, and you may be sitting here this morning and you say, well, what about this going on in my life? My mental darkness, my sickness of my mind and my brain. I know there are people who go through these things and they love the Lord. This is the promise. You trust in the name of the Lord and you stay upon the Lord. He will bring you forth to light. He will lighten your darkness. Psalm 18 says, verse 18, where he said, the Lord will lighten my darkness. He will light my candle. The Lord, verse 28. Thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. You just wait upon Him. Look to Him. Keep faith in Him. Here, I believe the admonition that we read in the very beginning. You put on the armor of light. What is the breastplate? The breastplate, or the helmet, let's see, what is it? As faith and love, he said. The shield of faith and love. Maybe that's what it was. In Romans 13. No, that was 1 Thessalonians 5. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love. He's going to lighten your darkness. You just trust in Him and believe in Him. Then I wanted to notice Romans 13. Keep on going where we were a while ago. Not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. There is a darkness today that is descending upon people and trying to get at people who are saved too. All of the strife between the races, between the genders, between religious people who have differences, all of this strife is part of the darkness. I'm telling you, there is a drive to divide us as Christians that is part of the night. We're not of the night. Let's not have anything to do with this strife that's going on. None of it. The envying, being jealous, being hateful, speaking evil, all of that is part of the night. Listen to this, 1 John chapter 2. Well, first of all, let's get chapter 1. And this is what we need to remember. Verse 5, 1 John 1 and 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. That's a principle that would help us if we would remember it. If you come into confusion, if you come into despair that, oh, I'm so sick and my mind is so cloudy and things are so depressed, you remember God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. You can look to Him. He will bring light into your situation. Then he goes on in verse 7, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, that means the darkness of sin and disobedience and dishonesty and hatred. If we walk in that darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now go over here in chapter 2. Verse 8. And again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith, He is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even till now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. If we become a part of the strife and envying and bitterness and hatred and just general dislike of somebody that you don't ever work on, did you know that your flesh and another person's flesh are not always going to agree and not always going to jive with each other, but that's not the end of it? Love can triumph. Love can heal. Love can make you different in your mind to the person that you don't like. I know it's true. God can give you love for somebody that is unlovable. and then give them love for you when you're not lovable. We need to remember it goes both ways. I may be completely biased in my thought and think, oh, that person's just so unlovable, and at the same time they're thinking that about me and I'm acting unlovable. The Lord can give you love, and I'm talking about real love, a will to care for that person. When Joseph in the Bible was treated so badly by his brothers, he may have had all of the reason and excuses to treat them with less than care. But you know what he did? He said, I'm going to nourish you and your little ones. That's how deep the love of the Father and the forgiveness that God gave him for them worked in his life. He said, don't be afraid of me. Now that Father is gone, you think I'm going to turn on you and I'm going to give you what you deserve? He said, no, I'm going to nourish you. That word nourish is a word of care and love. The Lord can cause us to have love for people in our hearts that are naturally distasteful to us. He can help us. He can give it to us. There is a light in that. Did you know? There's light that comes into you when love comes into you. It brightens despair, and it brightens doubts, and it brightens confusion. It makes things clear. There's an understanding that the Lord can give you about people that takes all bitterness and strife. With compassion and understanding work together. They work together and they cause you to walk in light. I never really had understood that before, but I know it's true. There is a light that comes when you love, and there is darkness that comes when you allow hatred and bitterness in your life. And you know, just as I said a while ago, when you have purity and you have Christ's righteousness in your life, how that it shows out to the world, when you have love and kindness in your heart, it just shows out. And when you have bitterness, it doesn't take very long for bitterness to just come out in your eyes. Really, it really does. There are people who, after being around them just for a little bit, it doesn't take long for bitterness to come out in their lives, in what they say. Every once in a while, they'll say something and you think, oh, that's got a barb to it. There's something there in that person's heart. They wouldn't speak like that if there wasn't something there. And maybe they don't just tell it all, but after a while, you're around them a little while, maybe they have something to say, and they're going to spill it out. And it's just a lot of venom, and it's a lot of hatred, and it's a lot of bitterness and unforgiveness, and you're thinking, oh, that's what that was all about. It came out first in their, just in their eyes. The Lord can help us to love one another. He said, he that loveth his brother abides in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. I'm thankful today for that armor that he told us to put on. I was thinking a while ago in those songs that we were singing, the armor of light, the breastplate of faith and love, the shield of faith and love, the breastplate, the helmet, the hope of salvation. My trust and my hope in the Lord keeps my mind. That's what a helmet does. It protects the brain, doesn't it? Protects the head. My hope and my trust that the Lord is going to deliver me. He's going to help me. You know, the darkness of the world today is they don't have any hope. They don't feel like there's any help for them anywhere. They turn to this and they turn to that. They turn to medication, and medication turns on them. And I'm talking about mental issues. I'm talking about the medication people turn to for depression. Have you seen how it's double-sided? They take it for relief, and it torments them again. And pretty soon you have no hope. People have no hope, and they try to end their lives. But there is hope in salvation. that will bring light into a person's darkness. Remember this morning, we're not of the night. We're children of the day. Let us walk as children of the day.